Okay, if you can turn in your Bibles now, and hopefully you've got your Bibles. It's important to bring your Bible to church. Now, I got in the habit of bringing my Bible to church because, number one, my mum and dad told me to. But in Sunday school, one of the first things they would check when you went to Sunday school when I was a kid is, did you bring your Bible? And you got a mark. Okay, you say, well, that's great, Pastor. Well, my motives were a little bit off, you know, because if you bought your Bible every day for that term, you got a chocolate or something, all right? But nevertheless, I established an important habit of bringing my Bible to church. It's so important. And so, a little test for everybody. If you can't find this book of the Bible, then we'll give you a Bible study. But if everybody could turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 1 and verse 1. If your neighbor's looking at the table of contents, don't embarrass them. Genesis, the book of beginnings, the first page of your Bible. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1 and 2. And I think we'll read it together. It's on the screen. I know different people use different versions, and I respect that for the ease of reading. But having grown up with the King James Version, I preach from the King James Version. It's a good study Bible. And we can read it on the screen together. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Okay, now not everyone's reading out loud. Let's try that again. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. I want you to notice the last sentence. It says, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. I want to minister today on this title, the moving of the Spirit. The moving of the Spirit. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we come before you right now, ready and attentive and ready to hear from your word. So Lord, as we open up your word, Lord, turn me into a microphone from heaven. Hide me behind the cross. Oh God, that this congregation, oh God, would not hear my words, but Lord, they would hear from you. So Lord, use me today to minister to this congregation and help us to be changed. Help us not just to be hearers of the word, but doers of the word also. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory. And all the church says amen. Amen. You may be seated. The moving of the Spirit. The moving of the Spirit. I love to study the Word of God. I said in the first service that one scripture can be like a mine. And when I say a mine, I don't mean a landmine. It can also, you know, be a landmine. Sometimes you read a scripture and man, it just completely changes you. But when I say a mine, I mean that you can delve into it. You can search into one scripture. You can break it apart. You can study and you're going to find a depth in that scripture. You're going to find revelation in the scripture. And I want you to notice that right here in the first two verses of the Bible in the book of Genesis, I want you to notice this, that before anything, everybody say anything. That before anything, there was God. Before anything, there was God. And before anything, the Spirit of God moved. Everybody say moved. Even before God said, let there be light, the Spirit of God moved. Before there was creatures, the Spirit of God moved. Before there was land, the Spirit of God moved. Before anything, the Spirit of God moved. Now, when you study the Bible, there is a principle. Some people call it a rule, and some people call it a law. It's the principle of first mention. The principle of first mention is that when you study the Bible, you can use this principle of first mention as a guideline. What it means that when you want to study something, you go back and you find the first mention of it in the scriptures. And in order to completely understand something, the best place to start is with the first mention. And what this principle of first mention, or the law of first mention, means is that if you go to the first mention of the concept, everybody say the concept. If you go to the first mention of the concept, you will get the simplest and the clearest presentation of that doctrine. Like worship. The first mention of worship is when Abraham said to his boys, he said, "Let us go yonder and worship." Now, just in case we thought worship was just about singing songs, the principle of first mention tells us that worship is about sacrifice. And so this principle of first mention says, go to the first mention and you will find the concept, not in its entirety, but you will find the concept in its simplest and clearest presentation. And so in Genesis, we find lots of first mentions, because Genesis is the book of beginnings. And so if you read the book of Genesis, you'll find the foundations. Just the foundations, not the doctrine in its entirety, but the foundations. You'll find the foundations of creation. You'll find the foundations of marriage. You'll find the foundations of the family. In the book of Genesis, you'll find what sin is. Sin is to disobey God. And when Adam and Eve partook of the tree, they disobeyed God. And you find the foundation of sin in the book of Genesis. You find the foundation for the doctrine of sacrifice and atonement and prayer and judgment and covenant. You find it all in the book of beginnings, the book of Genesis. When they asked Jesus about marriage, Jesus pointed to the first mention. In fact, he said, when they asked him, he said, "Haven't you read?" At the beginning, he said, go back to the first mention. He said, at the beginning, the Creator made them male and female. And then he went further and said, for this reason shall a man leave his father and mother and be united or cleave unto his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So even Jesus went back to the first mention. And in our text, we go to the first mention of the Spirit of God. And we can see in that first mention, the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit of God, in its clearest and simplest presentation. Now, the Bible says that the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Before the Spirit of God moved, the earth was without form. The earth was void. Everybody say nothing. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And so we cannot exactly know how the Spirit of God moved on that watery mass on the ocean on that day one of creation. But Genesis tells us at the very commencement of creation, before anything else, the Spirit of God moved. The first act of God, the first divine act, in setting up the whole planet for habitation, for the habitation and for man to live, the first act of God was for the Spirit of God to move upon the face of the waters. Now, I don't want you to miss this other part. I'm talking about the moving of the Spirit, but we can't miss this either, because in the first chapter, we also see this divine pattern of the moving of the Spirit and the speaking of the Word. Everybody say the Word. Now, we must not underestimate the Word of God, because the Spirit of God is moving and then the Word of God is creating. And the Word of God is important. Everybody say important. We've got to value the Word of God. On the very first page in my Bible, no fewer than 9 times it says, and God said, and God said, and God said, and God said. There should be no doubt in our mind that it matters what God says. Amen? And that there's power in what God says. And so the Spirit is moving and the Word is creating. This is a very important thing, and I want to stop and just talk about this for a moment. at risk of getting off track, but in the church, there needs to be a balance between the Spirit and the Word. The Bible says that the true worshipers that worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And so T.F. Tenney, who was a great preacher, said, he says, the bird has two wings, and those two wings are spirit and truth. A bird with one wing is going to go around and around in circles and not going to get anywhere. And so in the church, we must have the moving of the Spirit, but we must also have the preaching of the Word. And sadly, and let me just say this today as a caution, many churches have got swept up in the moving of the Spirit that they've cast aside the preaching of the Word. And in moving in the Spirit, they have been led into error. Because the bird has two wings, Spirit and truth. Every move of the Spirit must be founded in the Word of God. And just because the Spirit is moving, it doesn't contradict what the Word is saying. God will never contradict Himself. And so that's why it grieves my heart when I see a church. I saw a church recently. They were praying against the spirit of racism, and they took a stick. And they were banging a stick on the stage. All these people were banging these sticks. And it just goes back to a witchcraft. I mean, let me tell you, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. You don't need to go taking any stick. You see, if you're going to get so caught up in the spirit that you're going to throw out the word, you're going to miss that. You're going to miss that scripture. That at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow. And so the bird has two wings. Everyone say two wings. And John 17, verse 17 says, we worship God in spirit and in truth. John 17, 17 says, thy word is truth. And so, I do want to focus on the moving of the Spirit today. Until the Spirit of God moved, and maybe this is your testimony today, until the Spirit of God moved, there was no form. Nothing. Until the Spirit of God moved, the earth was without form, the earth was void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. You see, Genesis 1, 3 to 27 is all about the creation. But before anything could be created, there had to be a move of the Spirit. Anyone know what I'm talking about today? Before there could be a bird or a cow, before there could be a tree, before there could be anything created, there had to be a move of the Spirit. And the King James Version says, and the Spirit of God moved. Another version says, the Spirit of God was hovering. Now, that word moved or hovering is the same word used in Deuteronomy 32, verse 11, when it describes a mother bird beating her wings over her little ones, encouraging them to fly. And I love that because when I took that word and saw that hover, that word move, it's the same word that is used to describe the eagle which would beat her wings and hover and encourage the little chicklets to fly. Let me tell you, that's what the Spirit of God does to us. When we feel the moving of the Holy Spirit, when the Spirit of God begins to move across the congregation, it's like God saying, come on, my child, it's time for you to fly. You walk not by your own sight or by your own might, but it's by my Spirit. Before anything, there was a move of the Spirit, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Without the Spirit of God, the world would have been in chaos. Other versions of the Bible, instead of without form and without void, it just says chaos. When the Spirit of God began to move, chaos was gone. Creation begins. Things begin to come to life. And I want to tell you today, when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, dead things come to life. We're no longer old, but we become new creatures in Jesus Christ. That is because of the moving of the Spirit. And so, yes, you can listen to all the preaching in the world, but nothing will change you like the moving of the Spirit of God. You know, you can obey all the commandments. In fact, I don't believe you can obey all the commandments without being filled with the Holy Spirit. But you can try your hardest to live for God, but you won't be able to do it without the moving of the Holy Spirit, because before anything, the Spirit of God moved. And you can see it right there. The doctrine of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, it's right there in Genesis, and we see it in its simplest and clearest form. That before anything, the Spirit of God has to move. And I thank God today, as a young 11-year-old, when I was young and came down and I wanted to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I was filled with His Spirit. And as the Spirit of God began to move on my life, things began to change. God began to use me. God began to anoint me. Why? Because it's the moving of the Spirit of God. And all across this congregation, you can testify that before you were filled with the Spirit, you were dry, but now you've drunk of the living waters that shall never run dry. That's the power of the Spirit of God. And unless the Spirit of God is at work in our life, we're still without form and void. Some may say, well, that doesn't seem fair, Pastor. What about somebody who tries really hard to live a good life? What about somebody who is very religious and very devoted? Jesus addressed that in John 3. You can turn there in your Bibles, John chapter 3, verses 1 through to 6. And I'm just going to read verse 6. So you're going to have to turn there so you can read verses 1 to 5. I'll start while you turn. John 3, verse 1 says, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, who was a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered Nicodemus and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, Well, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man is born of water and of the Spirit," everybody say the Spirit, "he cannot enter the kingdom of God." And so, Pastor, what about people that are very good? What about people who try really hard to live a good life? And what about people who are very religious and very devoted? Jesus addressed it when he said in John 3, verse 6, he said this, "That which is born of flesh is flesh." Even your hardest endeavors in the flesh are still just flesh. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And I thank God for people who do their best to live a good life, who do their best to be a good person, who are religious in that way, that they have a discipline and a process in approaching God. That's all well and good. But here it is. If it's only flesh, it's still flesh. If it's born in the flesh, it's still flesh. But if it's born of the Spirit, it's spirit. And so here I submit to you today that humanity may rise as high as humanity may rise. There is only so far you can go. Humanity can only go as far as humanity can go. That doesn't sound very profound. But if you're going to go any higher, if you're going to go any further, if you're going to have more power, if you're going to walk in the power of God, you have to be moved on by the Spirit of God. You've got to be filled with the Spirit of God, because that which is flesh is born of the flesh is still flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And many people say, "I just can't live this Christian life. I read the Word of God and I keep falling and I keep failing, and I want to live for God, but I keep failing." And Brother Akbar won't mind, but when he was a brand new Christian, right after he obviously was struggling with trying to live for God and do the right thing. But when he was filled with the Spirit, he came to me, and I won't forget it. He says, "Now I understand." Now I have the power to do it. He's not saying that he's perfect, but he says, I understand now that I've been filled with the Spirit, I can go beyond that limit of humanity. I can go beyond the flesh. I got the power of God residing inside of me. And before anything was created, the Spirit moved. And before we can become what God wants us to become, we've got to allow His Spirit to move in our life. We've got to be filled with the Holy Spirit to overflowing. And Zechariah, it says, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. And so it is fitting that creation started with the move of the Spirit. And the first church in the book of Acts started with the move of the Spirit. You see, 4,000 years of history have elapsed, human history. And God Himself came down from heaven. We call it the incarnation, where God put on flesh and came, the miracle of the incarnation. The Bible says, the angel said, His name shall be called Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And Jesus comes. And they're momentous days. Never had they heard a man speak like He spoke. Nobody had ever seen miracles like they were seeing at the hands of Jesus. These miracles, the lame were walking, the blind could see, deaf ears were being opened up. Jesus was demonstrating power over the kingdom of darkness. Jesus taught them as one having authority. And so while Jesus was ministering, hope was rising. What hope? The ministry of Jesus. There were people following Him, watching the miracles and signs and wonders. They took that 5 loaves and 2 fishes and it was multiplied and fed everybody. But as He was ministering, hope was rising. But then, as He begins to tell them that He must die on the cross, they're saying, oh Jesus, don't You go dying. Don't You go ruining it. You know, we got something good happening right now. Don't You go dying. Don't You go sacrificing. Luke 24 records His final words before He ascends. We can read in Luke 24 verse 49, it's on the screen. And behold, I send the promise of my Father unto you. Tarry ye in Jerusalem. Everyone say tarry. That means wait. Now, when I was in the Torres Strait Islands, let's take a little break right here. When I was in the Torres Strait Islands, which is that little island I was telling you about, Yam Island, they have tarry service. Now, we don't have tarry service, but we have prayer. We call them prayer meetings. They call them tarry services. Anybody ever heard of a tarry service before? Yeah, my mum, she's been the tarry. No one. Brother often, yeah, a few. But tarry services, I like the name of that. You know what tarry means? Keep praying till something happens. Wait until something happens. So they don't go to church thinking, you know, we're going to pray until 8:30 and then we're finished. No, they go to tarry. Or they go to, there's another place, the men go to the airstrip to tarry, the ladies go to the beach to tarry, they go to tarry. And Jesus said, go to Jerusalem and tarry. He was telling them, go and wait. He says, go and wait in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. He says, my Spirit is going to move, you're going to be endued, you're going to be filled with power from on high. Humanity can only rise to such a level, but you're going to be endued with power from on high. And then Jesus says the same thing in Acts chapter 1 verse 8. It says, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. How do you receive power? When the Holy Ghost comes upon you, the Spirit of God. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. How are you going to be a witness in the whole world? You're going to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. And when He had spoken these things, while they were looking, He was taken up and a cloud received Him out of their sight. Then, what did they do? They remembered what He said in Luke. We read it before, Luke 24, go and tarry. So they returned. Verse 12 says, then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, so they did what Jesus told them to do. He said, you're going to be endued with power from on high. So when they were come in, they went up into the upper room. Okay, they went to tarry. Everyone say tarry. And who was there? It tells us Peter was there, James was there, John was there, Andrew was there, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon, Zelotes, Judas the brother of James. These all continued, they tarried with one accord in prayer and supplication. Who else was there? With the women. Women were there as well. And Mary, the mother of Jesus and his brethren. Now, there are certain religions, when I tell them I believe in the infilling of the Holy Spirit, they say, well, that's not for us. But if I look at the Bible, it tells me that their most respected figures in their religion were actually filled with the Holy Spirit as well. I had a friend, I told him, I said, look, Peter, who they believe was the first pope, he was in the upper room and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And Mary, the mother of Jesus, she was also in the upper room and was filled with the Holy Spirit. There they are. There's 120 of them in the upper room waiting for the promise. Everybody say waiting. How long did they wait? Like, we might be happy to wait 10 minutes, 20 minutes, half a day. So no, they waited 10 days. And then suddenly, everybody say suddenly. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. You see, they were waiting to be endued with power from on high. They were saying, you know what? Jesus has called us to reach the world. He told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. He said, go in my name and there's going to be healings, miracles, signs and wonders. And you know what they're thinking? How on earth is this possible? Humanity can only go so high. Humanity can only go to the limit of humanity. But Jesus says, no, I'm going to endure you with power from on high. So they are lost. And you know what? Before they could do anything of any benefit, before they could do anything of any substance, let me tell you, just like in the first verse, or the second verse of Genesis, before anything could be created, there had to be a move of the Spirit. There had to be a move of the Spirit. And the Spirit of God flooded that place. If you go to Acts chapter 2 verse 1, it says this. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, that's after 10 days of tarrying, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. And it sat upon each of them. And they were all, including Mary and including Peter, you know, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and they all began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They were endued with power from on high. And how did they know they had received the gift of the Holy Spirit? Because they heard them speaking with other tongues. The moving of the Spirit. They go out onto the street. And everybody says, what's the go here? What are these people? Where'd they come from? Why are they so excited? And Peter steps up. He says, you know what? This is that which was prophesied by Joel. What did Joel prophesy? Joel prophesied in 2:28, Joel chapter 2 verse 28, that he would pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. And Peter said, as they're speaking with tongues and magnifying, glorifying God, Peter points at it and he goes, you know what? This is that which was prophesied by Joel. This is the outpouring of the Spirit of God. And once again, the New Testament church is birthed by the moving of the Spirit. Before anything can happen, before anybody can be saved in that New Testament church, there has to be a moving of the Spirit. Acts chapter 2, verse 39, Peter would later say, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. Jesus was sitting by a well. Anybody ever heard of the woman of Samaria? Yeah, hope you have. And Jesus tells her, he says, I'm going to give you a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Jesus said to this woman of Samaria, he said, you drink the water in this well, you're going to be thirsty again. Give it a couple of hours, you're going to be thirsty. But if you drink of the water that I have for you, it will be in you a well of living water. Everybody say living water.
You will never thirst. I want to tell you, that is the power of the Holy Spirit. Once you are filled with the Spirit, once you have the Spirit of God moving in your life and you drink of that rivers of living water, it will satisfy your soul. It will empower you. You can go beyond. You can keep going. Why? Because you've drunk of that living water. And so every Christian, when I read the Bible, I don't see a separation of Pentecostals and non-Pentecostals, those that believe in the Spirit of God and those that don't. No, every Christian can experience the infilling of the Holy Spirit. It is for every single one of us. In the year 2021, you can still be filled with the Holy Spirit. Do I have anybody that believes me today? And just like air, you know, without air, a horn can't do anything. But you put some air into it and it can make a noise. Just like air with a sailboat, when it puts up that sail, without any wind, it can't do anything. And the same is with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is that wind that blows in our life, which enables us to be empowered, enables us to do the work of God. And it go even further than that. Let me tell you, it's the Holy Spirit that enables us to be the person that God has called us to be. Because before there was light, there had to be a move of the Spirit. Before there was any creation, there had to be a move of the Spirit. And so I've come to whet your appetite. If you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, I want to tell you that you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Humanity can only go so far. That which is born of flesh is flesh, but that which is born of Spirit is Spirit. If you're trying to live for Jesus and you haven't been filled with the Spirit, you say, you know what? I just can't seem to do it. I just don't seem to have the power. When I read the Word, it just doesn't seem to come alive to me like it does to other people. Let me tell you, you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you want to be a witness, if you want to reach out to people in your workplace, in your family, and in your community, let me tell you, the Bible says, and you shall receive power to be witnesses. It's the moving of the Spirit. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17, as I get ready to come to a close. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17. Therefore, Paul said, I like this. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Before any creatures, before any creation, the Spirit of God moves. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Let's read these last little bits. All things are... Come on, join me and preach. All things are... Behold, all things become new. If any man be in Christ, you know what happens? Order comes from the chaos. Dead things come to life. Hope comes to the hopeless. Limited people become limitless. Why? Because of the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul said to the church at Ephesus, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. What power is that? It's the power of the Holy Spirit. Before anything was created, the Spirit of God moved. I remember back in the early January 2020, who can remember the fires back last year in January? Who can remember the smoke? Whoa, it's terrible. We had New Year's Eve service here and you could barely see the people in the balcony, the smoke. We got these new air conditioners in the new building. They do an exchange. So they take the fresh air from outside and they bring it inside so you don't feel sleepy. These are old air conditioners. This just circulate the air and air conditioner, you know. But the ones in the new building, they take the air from outside, cool it down, and then put it in. And then another thing sucks the air out, so the air's always fresh. What a great idea. Until there's smoke everywhere. So we turn the aircon on, and the place just filled with smoke. Whew. But you know, sometimes where I live, even in the winter, we got a problem with smoke in the Tuggeranong Valley. If you look out in the Tuggeranong Valley, it's not good for asthmatics because people burn their wood fires and the smoke just sits there. And you often hear, sometimes on the radio, they'll give a health warning to asthmatics and people who have problems breathing not to go outside because the smoke is settling in the valley. Pollution. Very often you hear when they talk about the pollution, they say, you know what? What we really need, and they said this during the fires when we had smoke everywhere, they said, we just need a wind to come and blow the smoke away. And every now and then, Brother James, the wind would blow in the right direction. And you know what? Everything would be clear for a little while. And then come the afternoon, the wind would blow it all back again. But sometimes we just needed a wind to come and blow all that pollution away. Anybody know what I'm talking about today? And if you look around at the spiritual condition of the world that we live in today, there's a lot of pollution. Maybe even in our lives, we've allowed our lives to become polluted by sin. Whatever it is that has polluted us. I want to tell you that 120 people went to an upper room. And I believe that those 120 people represented generations of people who had been cursing, who had been lying, cheating and stealing. There was a lot of pollution in that room. But suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And all of the pollution that was in that house, as the Spirit of God began to move, it just blew it all out. It blew all that pollution out, all the way out to the Bible says, as far as the east is from the west. Some of us today need a fresh breeze. Some of us need a fresh wind. Maybe you need a gale of the Holy Ghost today to come in and sweep you clean. If you're struggling with addictions, if you're struggling with things in your life and temptation and sin, I want to tell you, it's nothing that the Holy Spirit can't come in and change in just an instant. I've seen lives changed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Addictions broken. My own father-in-law was an alcoholic, filled with the Holy Spirit. He gave it up straight away. He gave up the cigarettes straight away by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. There's other testimonies in this place. When you were filled with the Holy Spirit, it was like a wind came from heaven and just blew all the pollution. You see, you know, the Holy Spirit can sweep addiction out of your life. It can sweep immorality out of your life. It can sweep alcoholism out of your life. Let me tell you, yeah, that which is born of flesh is flesh. You can only go so far. But that which is born of spirit is spirit. Not by might nor by power, Zechariah 4 verse 6, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Now, obviously, there were people that were questioning whether or not the Holy Spirit was for them, and whether or not they could receive the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus said this in Luke 11, 13. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Paul told the church at Ephesus, he said, and do not be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. I want to tell you today, if you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, you can be filled with the Holy Spirit today. In fact, we had a brother, I ministered that message on being rich towards God. He texted me, he said, Pastor, God filled me with the Holy Spirit. At the conclusion, when you were preaching, I was worshiping God, and God filled me with the, where do you get filled with the Spirit? Right there in the back. Filled with the Holy Spirit. Did no one even have to pray? Just hungry. And you know, God says, you know what? There's a hungry soul. I'm going to fill him with the Spirit. The promise of the Holy Spirit is for every single one of us. Let us stand in this place right now. And so if you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, God wants to fill you. You can be refreshed. You can be renewed. Let me tell you, that which is born of flesh is flesh, but that which is born of spirit is spirit. And before anything can be created, there had to be a move of the Spirit. Before you can go any further, there has to be a move of the Spirit. And yes, if you've never been filled, you can be filled today. I'm going to invite you to come to this altar. We're going to pray. But I'm also going to open up this altar for people who need a refreshing touch of the Holy Spirit. Because it is true. One man first said, he said, you know, sometimes it's like the Holy Spirit leaks. Like what basically happens, we allow other things to come into our life so that the infilling of the Holy Spirit, we can't be full if there's other things there. We become cold, we become lukewarm, we become stale, the water stops flowing, that living water stops flowing. And so some of us need to be refreshed because we've become stagnant. And Titus 3 verse 5 deals with this as well, because it says this: not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy. Everyone say mercy. I'm thankful for His mercy today. According to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration. And look at this, in case you didn't know or believe what I said before. How are we saved? By the renewing of the Holy Ghost. And so I don't claim to be a theologian at all, but the word renewing tells me that you can only be renewed if you had it once before, and to be renewed. And some of us in this house need a renewing of the Holy Spirit right now. Before anything could be created, there had to be a move of the Spirit. You've got to receive it before you can be renewed. You see, too many people are sitting in churches celebrating something that happened 50 years ago. And yeah, I thank God for what happened 50 years ago. I thank God for what happened 30 plus years ago in my life as a young person. I thank God for the many people that we've seen here filled with the Holy Spirit. But let me tell you, we can be renewed in the Spirit of God. So let us lift our hands all across this place right now. Let there be a holy hunger birthed inside of you right now. Oh God, I'm not satisfied just walking in the flesh. I want to walk in the Spirit. I want to be empowered by Your Spirit, oh God. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Don't be distracted by those who are around you. Reach out to God as He passes by right now, as His Spirit moves. Reach out to Him. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Oh, God, I need a fresh touch of Your Spirit. Fill me with Your Spirit, God. Fill me to overflowing, oh, God. Oh, I want Your Spirit to move on me right now. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Come on, pray in the Spirit, church, if you can. Pray in the Spirit right now. Oh, just cry out to God. Let His Spirit move in your life right now. Hallelujah. If you're a new Christian here today, reach out to God. Oh, yes, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. I encourage you today. You ought to find your place at this altar right now. This altar is not a place just for people who have done the wrong thing. But if you want to be refreshed, come and find a place at this altar and let us just cry out to God today. Oh, keep praying until the refreshing comes. Come and drink of the rivers of living water. Yes, come and drink. Come.